verse number 11. We're going to chase a word through the Word of God this morning, and I hope it'll be a help to you. But look at verse 11. The Bible says, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." But notice that, "and by the word of their testimony." Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for the wonderful service we've had thus far. Thank you for the songs that we sang, Lord. They're more than just melodies and words, God. They're the very testimonies of our heart. We sure are glad for the day that you saved us. We sure are glad that you are the dearest friend that we've ever had. We sure are glad that in Christ, Lord, I've never been sorry for anything and everything that you've ever done for me. I pray, Lord, this morning that you hide me behind the cross of Calvary. God, would you get out of myself, fill me with the Spirit of God. I do pray for this dear brother as he's in the penitentiary, he's preaching the gospel. I pray, Lord, you put heads around him and his family, but also, Lord, use him for the glory of God. Lord, many souls be saved by the grace of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity, Lord, to serve you this morning. We thank you for church this morning. We pray for the time of baptism we're going to have afterwards. We thank you for those that you saved, Lord, here in the past few weeks around our church. We so are grateful, Lord, that you have not wrote Ichabod on this place. Lord, the glory of God is still here. We're grateful for that this morning. Lord, we love you. We pray, Lord, you're working the hearts in every person that's here this morning. There's somebody here that doesn't know you as a personal Lord and Savior. God, would you save them by grace this morning? Lord, what a privilege it is to open up the Word of God and to preach the truths of God's Word. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can have a seat this morning. Thank you so much for standing. But we come to Revelation chapter number 12 this morning, and it's one verse out of it. We're going to go into the Old Testament. We're going to come back to the book of Hebrews in just a few minutes this morning. But we see here this morning that when it comes to your and I's testimony, there is a power that is behind it. Now, it is not my works or your ability that we testify of that gives us power, but really it is a testimony of what Christ has done in our life. The Bible says, they overcame him. Who? Satan. We go a few verses four. It says, it called devil and Satan. And how does a believer, how does one overcome him? Well, the first of all, it says, by the blood of the Lamb. How many are glad this morning that there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb this morning? It's not just a song that we sing, it's a truth that we believe. My life is made whole. I have power. I have strength this morning because of the blood of the Lamb. I'm not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I'm glad this morning when Satan comes my way, I can take him back to April 3rd, 2015, and the blood was applied to my life. And I'm glad this morning he cannot cross the bloodline. But notice it's not just the blood of the Lamb, but the Bible says the power or the word of their testimony. Their testimony. Preacher, what is the testimony? That is what God has done for you. See, here's the thing. Satan's going to come into your life. He's going to whisper in your ear. God's done with you. He's given up on you. You might as well quit. You might as well stop. You might as well go back to what you used to be. But you can look back and say, Satan, I've got a testimony. There was a day in my life where God did a work and he changed my life. Every time he comes around, it'd be a good time to tell him your testimony. And let me ask you this morning, real point blank, when's the last time you told Satan your testimony? Leave me alone, Satan. I'm saved. God has changed my life. But as we look at this idea of the test, we understand there's a power behind it. There's a power behind the testimony that God has given us. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 16 this morning. We're going to taste this word testimony through the Word of God this morning. Exodus chapter 16, go down to verse number 34. The Bible said, the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. Now, if you got a King James Bible this morning, in Exodus 16, 34, let me ask you, is that T capitalized? It's not capitalized everywhere else in your Bible. But right here in Exodus chapter 16, 34, that T is capitalized. So what's so special about that testimony right there, preacher? It's a reference to the Ark of the Covenant. It is a reference to that box that the children of Israel carried around as they wandered through the wilderness. We know as we study the Bible that the Ark of the Covenant is a beautiful picture of our Redeemer and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is all, He is God, and in Him we have all that we need this morning. But you got to realize, as they literally carried around the Ark of the Covenant, as they put those staves in the side of it, as they carried it on their shoulders and they marched around that land that God was giving to them, to everybody that came around them, they were carrying a testimony of who their God was and what He had done for them. And here's the interesting thing. This is the first time in your entire Bible you'll find the word testimony. It's right here in Exodus 16, 34. And we see here this morning, it's talking about the Ark of the Covenant. It's talking about the Lord this morning. And in Him we have all that we need. We see the power of the testimony. Exodus, we see the first mention of the word testimony. Now I want you to flip back to Hebrews chapter number 9. Preacher, I didn't know he was doing sword drills this morning. It's always good to hear the word of God being flipped open. I'm still a big proponent on bringing your Bible to church. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Look at verse number 4 of Hebrews chapter number 9. The Bible said, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. And so we see here this morning, we could go back to the book of Exodus and also read the contents of the Ark of the Covenant, but it really, you could say it is the contents of the testimony. And this morning, I want to ask you, what makes up your testimony? What do you as a believer have that you can testify about? As we look at these items this morning that were found in and on the Ark of the Covenant, I see some things that every Christian ought to be able to testify about. So, well, preacher, why is that necessary? Why should I want to and be able to testify about these things? Because that's how you become a victorious Christian. That's how you become an overcomer, an achieving Christian, so to speak, is by the word of their testimony. Every Christian can be an overcomer by testifying of the following items. I want you to notice, number one, there was a pardoning testimony. Look at verse number 5 of Hebrews chapter number 9. And what is described to you and I is what the lid or the covering of the Ark of the Covenant was. And the Bible tells us in verse number 5, and over it the cherubims, those are angels of glory, shadowing what? The mercy seat. And so this morning, if it was before us, that lid of that covenant, that ark would have two cherubims on each side. And the Bible said their wings came out. And that mercy seat is where that priest would come in, and he'd have the blood of the sacrifice, and he would place that blood upon the mercy seat. If there was no blood, it didn't go any further. You could not go anywhere else or go any further without the blood of the Lamb. Now we understand this morning in the Old Testament there was animal sacrifices, and that those pictures and those types were of the coming sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I firmly believe right now, this very morning in heaven, there is a mercy seat that has the blood of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, because of that, this morning, I have a testimony of pardoning. I have a pardoning testimony. Why? The blood was applied. Now, before we go any further this morning, this is the most important testimony anybody can have. You may experience the other ones or hear the other ones, but if you don't have this one, nothing else really matters. Just like Brother Jacob sang this one, he is really all that matters. And if you don't have him, you don't have anything. And we see here this morning, let me ask you, do you have a testimony of the blood of Jesus being applied to your life? Do you have a moment in time where you, by faith, trusted Christ and believed on Him as Savior, repented of your sins and got saved by the grace of God? Let me ask you this morning, if I was to grab one of them microphones over there and walk through the audience and say, I need somebody in just one minute or 2 minutes to tell me how you got saved. Could you answer that this morning? Or would you say, oh, I hope preacher don't call on me. I hope preacher don't ask me. Now, here's the thing this morning. If you're saved by the grace of God, you say, preacher, I'm just nervous to talk in front of people. Join the club. And can I say, we got real good at excusing our excuses. Let me ask you, the fact that Jesus saved your soul and gave you heaven as eternity and gave you eternal life, what's there to be nervous about? We don't get nervous talking about anything else, do we? If I were to walk around this morning and say, hey, talking to this microphone, tell me who your favorite Atlanta Braves player was. Now, I understand that probably 95% of us would all agree it's Chipper Jones. Right, but we wouldn't get nervous about that. Let me ask you, if I said, listen, for $1 million, tell me how you got saved. How quick would you do that? Is God not worth more to you than $1 million? To share the testimony that he's given you of being pardoned by his blood this morning? They had a pardoning testimony. That mercy seat was where the blood was applied. You know why most Christians live miserably? You know why most Christians live a downtrodden and discouraged continual life like that? It isn't because God hasn't been good to you. It isn't because you haven't been blessed. It isn't because the preacher's this and the choir's that and the Sunday school teacher. It's because majority of Christians have quit telling people how they got saved. Preacher, I'm so discouraged. Right? Go tell somebody how you got saved. Go find some. Preacher, I need the conversation to steer that way. I need the door to open up. Sometimes you got to Chuck Norris the door and kick it down. And say, well, you're here. I know we was talking about everything else, but let me tell you something. Jesus has made a change in my life. Preacher, they're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think I've lost my mind. I'd rather them think that and know how to get to heaven than for them to respect me and go to hell. There was a pardoning testimony. When's the last time you testified about the pardon you received? What you don't realize, when you tell people about what Jesus did for you, it doesn't just help them, it helps you. You're reminded all over again how God saved you. There's a pardoning testimony. Notice this, verse number 4, there was a providing testimony. Look at verse 4 of Hebrews chapter number 9. The Bible said in that Ark of the Covenant, there was a golden pot that had manna. Preacher, what was manna? It was honey buns. No, you go read Exodus 16, you find out it was small little things about the size of a coriander seed. It did taste like honey. Amen. And the nation of Israel would go and they would go out in the morning, they'd scoop it up, and God told them to scoop up as much as they needed and get as much as they needed for the day. And whatever they did not pick up, whatever they did not need, they would leave it there, and by the evening it would burn up in the sun, or the worms would come and eat it up. And it's interesting, because I know me. I know that if it was free, I'd be out there with grocery bags, trash bags, suitcases. All my pockets would be just in case. But here's the thing this morning. I think God has been faithful enough to you and I that we can trust him every day. That if he's got me through today, he can get me through tomorrow. Yes, and notice there's a testimony of provision here. You've got to realize when God gave them the manna, the nation of Israel, the majority of Israel thought they was fixing to die. That God had brought them out of Egypt to die. How many glad when Brother Brian Cooper said that God never leads you to leave you, but he always leads you to lead you. And there he was leading them through the wilderness day by day, giving them what they need. And inside of that ark was a little pot of that manna to remind them that God had provided for them. Let me ask you this morning, has God ever provided for you? Has he ever done things in such a way where you could step back and say, that had to be God?
Can I say this morning, in my heart, there's a little pot of manna that reminds me over and over again the times that God has provided for me in my family. You're looking at a man who's blessed beyond my wildest dreams. I could tell you about the story when God paid our doctor bills. Literally, I don't know if they ever got paid, but they disappeared. I could tell you about the time that me and my wife went to youth camp, and back then, the job that I was working, I didn't get no paid vacation. If I didn't work, I didn't get no money. And we made a sacrifice, and we said, hey, we'll go, knowing good and well that when we got back, it was going to be ramen noodles and maybe hot dogs. We weren't going to die. We were going to eat like we normally did. We came home, and I still remember, for unforeseen reasons, we didn't get home until like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I remember coming back home, and we both noticed it seemed like someone had been in our house. I said, well, great. Someone done hopped in the house and took everything we had, which wouldn't have been much. Someone had broken our house back then, they'd have just been real sad. Hey, man, let's go to the next one. But we could tell someone had been in our house. And we opened up our refrigerator, slap full of groceries. Pantry slap full of groceries. To this day, I still don't know who broke into our house. Whoever, say, it was God. Brother Randy said, Brother Tate, the Lord might have just sent an angel down there and filled up your house. Let me ask you, has God ever provided for you? Hey, some people need to hear how God has provided for you. Next time Satan comes up, he reminds you how many days in the month you got left and how much money you don't have. The next time Satan comes up to you and says, does it really pay to serve God? Is it really worth all of this that you're going through to serve God? You're struggling. Why does God let you? You need to testify to him. Oh, it might be tight, but everything is all right because the Lord is in control. If he needs to, I'll leave the door locked for him again. Break on in again, Lord. Preacher, you think he'd do it? If he did it once, he can do it again. They had a testimony of provision. Listen, I don't have to see the literal manna of Moses' day because I know the one who made it. And if he has to, he knows how to make a little manna for you and I. Boy, there's a testimony of providing. Let me ask you, has the Lord ever provided for you? Have you told anybody lately? Well, we live in a generation where we complain about everything we don't have. Everything that we don't possess. Everything that everybody else has that we don't. Would be real good if we changed that around and said, let me tell you what God's given me. I've got things. I've got blessings in my life. The only way I can explain is that God gave it to me. But he knew exactly when I needed it. He just plopped it right down in my life. I'm grateful for that tonight. I have a providing testimony. I have a pardoning testimony. Notice this, verse number 4, I have a persuading testimony. Look at verse number 4. The Bible said, not only was there manna in there, but there was a rod that budded. Now, it wasn't a Shakespeare and ugly stick. If you fish, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you're like me, you just seen him at Walmart one time. But he wasn't talking about a fishing rod there, but rather it was a branch from a tree, a stick, if you would. And you go back to Numbers 17, you can see how it got there. They were trying to decide who was going to be the one to serve in the tabernacle. Who was going to be the priestly line? Who was going to be the ones to operate and work in there? And there was 12 tribes of Israel. And so God told Moses to take each tribe one stick out of, to represent each tribe and to lay them there. When they were to come back the next day, the rod that had budded and blossomed and given almonds would be the one that God had selected. We know the account this morning that the tribe of Levi was represented by Aaron. And Aaron's rod was the one that budded and blossomed and brought forth fruit. May I remind you that serving God without the power of God is impossible. How do you know that, preacher? Because sticks don't produce fruit. I challenge you. Y'all drive through Trenton in a couple days. Cut you off one of them limbs off a peach tree. Put it on your front porch and say, grow peaches. It ain't going to do it. It's going to die. We realize this morning that that rod, when it began to bud and blossom and produce almonds, we understand it was a work of God. But it persuaded Aaron to know that God had called him into that ministry. There's some things in our life that God has persuaded us and he's called us. But when you look at number 17, here's the interesting thing. They were not trying to persuade the nation of Israel. They were not trying to persuade the faithfuls. They were trying, the Bible said, to persuade the rebels. God had called Aaron into that ministry. Let me ask you, how persuaded are you about serving the Lord? How persuaded are you about giving your life to the Lord? And not just serving the Lord, but serving the Lord's way. The way that he's called you to do it. It requires supernatural strength and power. Listen, if you're trying to serve God in your own power, it'll become routine and ritual. It'll become entertainment. It'll become lifeless. It'll become a hassle. It'll become an aggravation. Churches nowadays are trying everything else that they could think of to try to draw people in and have a crowd this morning. Preacher, how did we get the church full this morning? We opened the doors and we opened up the Bible. And we said, Lord, you're welcome here. The rod was a reminder to Aaron that God had placed him in that role. And he was persuaded. Let me ask you, how persuaded are you? Is serving God more important than a paycheck? Is serving God more important than popularity? Is it more important to you than the respect amongst the brethren? I like Paul. Paul said this way, I press toward the mark of the high calling. He also said, I'm persuaded neither life nor death. And a whole long list of things to separate me from the love of God. He said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is committed unto me. Let me ask you, how persuaded are you this morning? How persuaded are you? When's the last time you told somebody what God has called you to? This is what God wants me to do. This is where God wants me to go. This is who God wants me to reach. This is how God wants me to serve him. This is what God has persuaded me to do. I just can't help but think maybe sometimes Aaron walked into that. Aaron wasn't perfect. By no means was he perfect. We could read about his faults and failures. But maybe some days he got discouraged. Maybe some days it wasn't as fun as it normally was to work there in the tabernacle. And maybe Satan climbed up on his shoulder every now and again. You know, you're not really good at this. There's probably somebody out here who can do this far better than you. Why don't you just quit? Maybe he took a peek into that ark and he'd see that rod with the blossom still on it. Those almonds around it. And said, I would, but I didn't call myself into this. God called me. And God put me here. I ask you, how persuaded are you? How persuasive is your testimony this morning? When was the last time you told somebody what God has called you to? Then notice number 4 this morning, and I'll be done. There was a proclaiming testimony. Look at verse number 4. And the tables of the covenant. Preacher, what was that? It's in the Ten Commandments. Broken ones that were placed inside the Ark of the Covenant. What was it? It's the Word of God that was given to man on Mount Sinai. God himself wrote it with his own fingers, passed it down to Moses. You got to realize everywhere they went, they testified of the Word of God. And as they kept God's Word, God kept his Word. And things haven't changed this morning. God always keeps his Word. Let me ask you this way. Have you ever had God give you a verse about something? Settled your heart? Established your goings? Put peace and joy down in there? Gave you drive and determination? See, so many Christians nowadays, we just live off our feelings. I feel like this is what God wants me to do. I just feel that way. Here's the thing. Your feelings will fool you every time. I feel like the Lord wants me to do this. Does he though, or is that just what you think? Feelings are a dangerous place to live because they'll feel real good until they don't. And they'll feel real bad after that. Here's the thing. Most Christians, what the Bible said, would rather cast lots for their future instead of anchoring it down on a verse. The Word of God never changes. My life verse is John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Somebody told me one time, they said, Brother Tate, you're saying that wrong. You're saying it backwards. So I'm saying just how the Bible says it. He said, well, God can't increase until you decrease. I said, no, God is already everything. But we see, I can't tell you how many times in my life I'll go to do something. I have an idea. I have a thought. I have a feeling. And the Holy Ghost of God will say, is that making you increase? Or is that making me increase? Am I getting more of you, or are you getting more of you? I've had to step back and say, well, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Because my life is not my own anymore. Revelation chapter 12, it said they loved their lives not unto death, or unto death. In essence, they said, if I die, that's okay. If that's God's will for my life, is to die a martyr's death, I'm fine with that. Because this life is just this life. I know where I'm headed this morning. How many times, who's gaining here, me or the Lord? There's another verse that's dear to me. It's Mark 7, verse 37. And in that verse, Jesus, or that man says about Jesus, he hath done all things well. Y'all know the story? God didn't give me that verse on the mountaintop. God didn't give me that verse when everything was wonderful and everything was awesome and no problems. God gave me that verse right after our son died. Riding home from the hospital. I don't think it could have helped me. I don't think a song would have been good enough. I don't think the cute sayings inside of a card would have helped me. But that just echoing in my heart, he hath done all things well. It helped me and my wife purpose in our heart that given the opportunity and given the time, we'd always brag on how the Lord helped us through that. God let me go out. Brother Tim Lord was just with us. God let me fly halfway around the world and testify the Word of God. He had done all things well. There was another man and his wife went through a similar experience. His pastor reached out to me. I said, here's the sermon that I preached that night. And we went through the same thing. He sent it to that man at his church, and he just called me back. Thank you so much for doing that. You don't understand how much it's helped him. And right now in Our Lady Sunday School, they still may be in there or not. That young man wrote a testimony how God had helped him and his wife through that. Can I say this morning, you need to have a verse. You need to have a verse. Preacher, that takes time. I'm too busy for that. Well, then you're too busy. You need to have a testimony. This is what God's Word said, and I know it to be true because I've lived it. And I've experienced it. And I know He keeps His Word. When's the last time you was able to look at somebody and say, let me tell you what God's Word said and the difference it made in my life? God gave me a verse, and He's been true to it. Preacher, how do I become a overcoming Christian, a victorious Christian? How do I do that, preacher? You're going to have to open your mouth and testify about what the Lord has done. Preacher, I'm nervous. My whole body gets hot. My hands get sweaty. So does mine. But nerves are no excuse to not open our mouths. Preacher, what if I say the wrong thing? Like what? What if I don't say it exactly right? No, tell me what exactly right is. Just open your mouth and say, here's what the Lord's done for me. I was on my way to hell. A preacher preached the gospel. Somebody shared the gospel with me. I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that without Christ, I was going to die and go to hell. But I found out he died for me. He shed his blood for me. And by faith, I believed that. I repented of my sins and God saved me.
That's right.
That's it. That's it. But what if I don't remember the color of the carpet? What if I don't remember the weather that day? What time it was? Those are just details in the story. I'd much rather remember what Jesus did for me in that moment, at that time in my life, than I would remember what the weather was that day. I think it was Brother Robbie Burton. Somebody in Bible college said it this way. You may not always remember everything that happened at the dance, but you never forget who you took to the dance. And the reality is in our life, you may not remember everything about the day that it happened, but you never forget what happened when Jesus saved your soul. Oh, preacher, I'm just gonna keep it to myself. I'm saved, preacher. I've been saved for 50 years. Praise God, it still works. Matter of fact, that's enough to go tell somebody about. I've been saved for 50 years and I ain't lost it. Because I can't. Oh, do you have a testimony this morning? What if I grabbed that microphone this morning? I said, hey, I need you to testify about what the Lord's done for you. Could you this morning? Not just could you, because we know he's a good God. We ought to have plenty to testify about. But would you? Would you? What's there to be scared of this morning? How did they overcome them? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Preacher, Satan has been on my back. It's time to get testifying. It's time to open up your mouth, tell him and everybody around you how good God has been, how he's changed your life, how his word is true, how he's provided for you. I can't tell you the times that I've bragged on the Lord and people don't get mad at me. Here's what the Lord did for me. It often leads to an atmosphere of praise, joy, encouragement. Yes. Preacher, how do you know God's going to take care of our church? Oh, he taught me that a long time ago, before I was ever pastor. I was just working in the cabinet shop trying to remodel the trailer. I'm glad God can get into remodeling trailers. Some things only come by prayer and fasting. I'll share this story and I'll be done this morning. Our house is a little single wide trailer there, and we were fixing it up, and I got to building the cabinets, and I told the man I was working with, who was my project manager at the time, foreman at the time, I said, hey, I'm going to build this for my house, and I'll turn in my supply list, and you just tell me how much I owe, and I'll figure out how to pay it later. And so I figured all that out and built all those things, got them painted, brought them to the house. And I turned it in and never heard anything back. I went back and I said, hey, listen, how much do I owe? I can make sure I know how to pay this and get it all paid back. And he said, I'll get back with you. Well, he never got back with me. So I went to the person that was over and I said, hey, I turned this in and I need to know how much I owe. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. You don't owe anything. I said, excuse me? He said, yeah, you don't owe anything. Don't worry about it. It's all been taken care of. I'm talking about $10,000 probably worth of cabinets. And God said, you don't owe about it. Wow, we was excited about that. I mean, beyond excited. But then we got the cabinets in place. And I mean, you can have cabinets all day long, but if you ain't got no handles on them, things become aggravating. And think about cabinet handles, they're just as about expensive as cabinets. And part of me was like, well, they got on the extra ones at the job site. I mean, just or at the job, I'll just, you know, here and there. One handle here, one handle there. And they would have never noticed. But I knew that wasn't right. And so we'll just figure it out. I was standing at work one day and project manager come walking by holding a box in his hand. I said, hey, William, what you got in the box? He said, I'm trying to find someone to give it to. Well, so if you tell me what it is, I'll see if I'm interested in getting it from you. You can tell he's a little aggravated. He said, well, we're doing this job for this lady, multimillionaire, and she don't like the color of the handles of her cabinets. She wants a different color. He said, now I've got a whole bunch of cabinet handles or poles that have been paid for, but I have no idea what to do with them. He said, I'm trying to find somebody to give them to. I said, I think you found them. God went into a multimillionaire's house. He said, there's a young man over there in Hepsiba, Georgia. He ain't got $1 million. He's got a little single wide trailer. But I'm his God, and I want to show him that I'm faithful. Can I say, I don't ever get tired of telling them. I love testifying what the Lord has done for me. Do you this morning? Would I have to work you up, or would you just grab the microphone and say, preacher, I need to tell you what God has done for me? Every now and again, you need to get a bad case, and I just can't help it. I've got to brag on the Lord. It doesn't just help those who are hearing, but it helps those that are listening. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up this morning, bow your heads, close your eyes.